We thank Almighty God for a good year and a good harvest and for enough to eat. Remember, the first Thanksgiving on the American shores was the Spanish, both in St. Augustine, Florida, and what is near to what is today El Paso, Texas. The Spanish had a Thanksgiving feast for the Nativity of Mary. And curiously enough, those inveterate old anti-Catholic Protestants, the Pilgrims, they had picked up, and both in England and in Holland, the old Catholic festival of St. Martin's Day, or Martinmas, which the early Thanksgiving festival had become in the autumn of the year. That was a very great feast with Mass and with a feast, with a proper dinner to thank God for a good harvest. And St. Martin, of course, well, he was a monk. He was a soldier who became a monk. He became a missionary and a bishop, but really he was always very much a monk. And today, our Thanksgiving falls on the feast day of another monk, not very well known at all. He lived during the era of the great reforms of monasticism, the 12th, 13th century. Remember, they say the 13th is the greatest of centuries. It gave us so many saints. It was the era that saw the white monks, or the Cistercians. And this saint founded a group of blue monks. Only they died out almost entirely, so they're not known at all today. And maybe they had the color blue for their habit out of gratitude to the Blessed Mother. That's a wonderful Thanksgiving thought, isn't it? They say that one day, St. Sylvester is his name, that one day St. Sylvester was going down for Matins during the night to the church, about 2 o'clock in the morning or so, and the Benedictines used to have a stairway that went directly from the dormitory straight to church, so they could go straight to church and start their prayers. Well, he was going down the stairs, and the devil tripped him and pushed him down the stairs. And he did it because he was extremely envious of him, because he had led a life of such penance and holiness, he and his monks, and he propagated the monasteries. They say there were 65 at one point in the Middle Ages. He was given the gift of prophecy by God, and most of all, he imitated Mary by humility, so he would hide his gifts as much as possible. And the devil, you know, he can't bear humility. So the devil pushes him down the stairs, and he's seriously injured. He's an old man. And the Blessed Mother comes herself to heal him. And if you look at the picture for the Shrine of the Day, do you ever visit the Shrine of the Day? You really should. Sometimes the pictures, you know, they tell a little story. It shows Our Lady giving communion to this monk, St. Sylvester. Maybe that was part of the story that I don't know about. But in any case, she came and she healed him. His story is this. He was a law student, University of Bologna, the great medieval Catholic university in Italy, when he decided to switch to theology from law, and his father didn't want him to do that, and he didn't want him to be a priest, and his father got so angry at him that he refused to speak to him for 10 years. That's really holding a grudge. Never mind, he was spotted by the bishop, and the bishop made him a canon of his diocese, the cathedral, so he spent all of his time either with prayers, the divine office in church, or taking care of souls, the care of souls. Well, the bishop became a problem because the bishop was actually leading a very wicked life, and he reproached him once for it, respectfully, and the bishop threatened to fire him from his job. And just about that time, a cousin of his, who had been a very handsome man, died, still in his youth. And when he saw how death had disfigured this man, who at one time, as I say, was such a handsome fellow, that got him thinking about the world. And he left the world, and he went about 30 miles out into the wilderness someplace and was a hermit on roots and living on the ground in a little hut and praying. And eventually he ended up drawing followers, and then he needed a rule so that the followers could be properly organized. And there's a charming story that all of the founding saints appeared to St. Sylvester, and each one asked him to take their rule, St. Francis, St. Augustine, St. Dominic, so forth, St. Basil. But he took the rule of St. Benedict, very wisely so, because it remembers the Benedictine civilization, the West, and he founded this order, which did a lot of good in the early Middle Ages and gave great glory to God. The order is very small. Today it still does exist. And whenever I come to St. Sylvester's Day, I have personal thanksgiving, because if it weren't for St. Sylvester, why, I wouldn't be here. Did you ever in your thanksgiving trace the steps of divine providence in your life? And sometimes you would just have to almost be like Tobias and fall on the floor and say, thank you, dear Lord, the steps of divine providence. You see, there was a Sylvester Benedictine monk from Italy, and he had an Italian parish in Detroit, and he kept the true Mass going during the 1960s after it was abolished. And I started going there. I was in high school. I started going there for Mass. And then a couple of years later, he joined Archbishop Lefebvre, and he was the first priest to be recognized as a follower of Archbishop Lefebvre, of all things, by the Vatican. And he was allowed to transfer from his monastic order to being under Archbishop Lefebvre. And he only lasted a few years, but he contacted me. I was a monk in a Novus Ordo monastery, and he said, you should go to Switzerland, and you should be a priest there. And so I did. And that's how I'm here today. Isn't that a remarkable tale? Probably all of you have a similar tale to tell like that. And that's a story of gratitude, immense gratitude. And of course, if I were here today, you wouldn't be here today either, would you? God only knows what we'd all be up to today. So we should all be giving thanks to Almighty God on St. Sylvester's Day. But the church, that's the story of life that fills us with gratitude. But the church today proposes a more difficult theme for Thanksgiving. She wants us to think about death, and that's referred to in the collect of today's Mass about our saint piously meditating upon an open grave. That's a hard topic for gratitude, isn't it? If St. Sylvester's story leaves you a little bit cold, well, think of that warmest of all saints, the most attractive, to whom we've dedicated so much time the last year or two, St. Francis of Assisi. When the doctors told him how long he had to live, and for medieval doctors, they actually guessed correctly. They said, you'll be dead. This was in September or late August of this last year. He said, you'll be dead by the 4th of October. And so he was. He cried out, welcome, sister death. And then he had written a canticle of the sun with which to praise God in the spirit of Daniel the prophet in the Old Testament. And he added to it, when his brothers sang it for him the last time, he added to it this final verse about, and praised be thou, O sister death. A beautiful conclusion. And death does come up at the holiday season, doesn't it? Those perhaps who have died since last year, and how much we miss their presence with us. And sometimes the suffering is the more keen because of the happiness that once you knew with someone, the wonderful yesterdays that you still do remember with gratitude today, and you won't see them again until the tomorrow of eternity. And that's it's a bittersweet thing, isn't it? How precious, how fragile life is. Remember what we're told, only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for God will last. Surely the thought of death should make us, who are the living, more careful in our words. It should make us more cheerful in our attitude and more charitable in our deeds. There are the lessons, too. Don't hold a grudge. Think of poor St. Sylvester and his dad, who wouldn't talk to him for 10 years because he became a priest. But think the other times when you probably should just keep silent. These are good thoughts for us, aren't they, as we open the most stressful season of the year, which our culture calls the holidays. We often say, life is too short for this or that thing that seems petty or silly or unworthy. Well, it is too short for that. We should be thankful then, even for the message of death, because death, properly understood, makes us to lead a good and a proper life. And it's not a morbid thing. Only forgetfulness of death, remember, is deadly. The saints and good Christians of old thought about death every day and prayed for the grace of a good one. Death can make us to be thankful as we realize the fragility of our hold on life, thankful for family and friends, thankful for our Catholic faith, our Mass, thankful for the freedoms that we still do enjoy and all of the material conveniences and blessings, as well as for the things that matter most of all. Most of all, perhaps, though, on a very small level, just a personal level, we should all resolve at Thanksgiving or in our daily prayer about death to leave aside so much pettiness and picking and ugliness and fighting, to leave aside finally the weariness of worry, because our Lord hath care of us. Sometimes our days seem to be made up of just those negative things, don't they? If we just do this today, to realize that today is the day to appreciate and to love and for which to be thankful before death comes, then death will come and find us a little bit better prepared than it was, than we were yesterday. And in the same sense, we can bless Almighty God for our sister, the death of the body, as says St. Francis, and especially for the wholesome, happy remembrance of it, because it could only improve my life. Death one day will take my life away. There's no other way out of this veil of tears than by dying, but death today will improve my life, especially for those whom I love. Let us conclude then with the words of St. Francis. And blessed be God for our sister, the death of the body, from whom no living man can escape. Woe to those who shall die in mortal sin. Blessed are those whom she will find in thy most holy will, for the second death will not harm them. Praise and bless my Lord, and thank him and serve him with great humility. The Benedictine, St. Sylvester, would certainly say amen to that. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.